Once upon a time, and a long time ago, when I was at school, I used to go into the library when it was a wet lunchtime and read Scientific American and the New Scientist magazine. And I remember being struck by some advances that they had made in road safety. And what they had discovered is that they could make a lot of improvements if they changed the way they looked at the problem. Because they had been looking at road safety as we must prevent accidents. So they'd be making windscreens bigger so you could see better, and they'd be making brakes better so you could stop quicker. But they had a change of viewpoint, and they said, well, actually, if we thought about when there is an accident, could people survive the accident better and get injured less? That's when they started inventing crumple zones and street lamps, that when you crashed into them, the street lamp bent rather than the car. It was a change of viewpoint, a different way of looking at things. If I turn this on properly. I think it will help us to look at Christmas with a slightly different viewpoint. As Kath said in her introduction, the way that we normally look at Christmas and the way that it's shown to us in all the shops and on TV is time of fun and festivities and family and friends around. And sometimes when we're going through really hard times, that completely doesn't fit with us. So let's have a look at it a different way. When we're feeling dry and barren, when we feel lost and sad and empty, can we think about, to us a son is given? A little phrase out of the reading that Elsie read to us earlier. To us a son is given. When we go through tough times, what we want above all is somebody to be with us. It's not so much that we want people with clever words. We want somebody just to be with us. To us, a son is given to be with us. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. As the carol says, he came down to earth from heaven. To us, a son is given to be with us. The prophecy said, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And in Matthew, the gospel writer recognized that that prophecy had come and been fulfilled that first Christmas. Jesus was Emmanuel, God with us. To us, a son is born. He has identified with us in our distress and has not been destroyed by it. To us, a son is given to be strength for our weakness. Another prophecy points forward to Jesus and says, surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. But it also says, after he has suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. To us, the Son is given, someone who's been through it, but not been destroyed by it. Someone to give us strength when we have no strength of our own. To us, a Son is given. The ancient promises were fulfilled in this Son given to us, promises of transforming. This Son was given for our dashed hopes and our grieving. It talks in the prophecy about those who have ashes, because whereas in our society, if we're in mourning, we wear black, in the society of this prophecy, when they were mourning, they put ashes on their head. And so the prophecy says something about a crown of beauty on their heads instead of ashes. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to comfort all who mourn, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes. Notice that the promise is for a crown of beauty to be bestowed, not worked for or paid for, but given. To us a son is given. The promise is fulfilled. In these days of mobile phones, where we use them for everything, to tell us what the time is, to tell us what the weather is, to tell us what funny thing our friend's cat has just been doing. In these days, it doesn't really mean much to us to say the morning star. But it does mean a lot to people who are on watch during the night. Because when you see it, low in the sky but bright, then you know that dawn is coming and the night is nearly over. The Apostle Peter wrote to some people going through tough times. He described his readers as scattered exiles, people who had had to leave their homes because of persecution. They were struggling through the night of hard times, tempted to think they'd got it all wrong, in danger of being misled by false teaching. It was to these people that Peter wrote about the morning star. He said, "We have the prophetic message as something completely reliable, and you will do well to pay attention to it as to a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts." Christian hope is perhaps best described as a confident expectation, like seeing the morning star and having the confident expectation that the night is coming to an end. The ancient prophecy of a star from Jacob had been seen as part of the promise of the Messiah, a truly special one, to lead the whole nation. The prophecy of Balaam, who saw a vision from the Almighty. "I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star will come out of Jacob." In the book of Revelation, John records a vision of Jesus as the fulfillment of that prophecy and others. "I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright morning star." So these other Bible verses help us to understand what Peter was saying. The bright morning star is Jesus Christ, the Son who is given to us. "Pay attention," Peter said, "until the morning star rises in your hearts." Christian hope means more than what we sometimes mean when we use the word hope. When we say, "I hope that Fulham score a few more goals soon." Just very briefly, when we look forward to heaven, which is a wonderful hope that keeps us going, literally to the end. But there's more to Christian hope than that, because we have a hope for God's kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven. That means overcoming evil with good. Those verses in Revelation explain how it all fits together. We have hope that God's promises will be fulfilled. Peter said in his letter, "We have the prophetic message as something completely reliable." Because the fact that some of the promises were fulfilled when Jesus came that first Christmas gives us hope that the other promises will be fulfilled too. Promises like Jeremiah 29 verse 11. "I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you hope and a future." Other promises of justice, of forgiveness, of the earth being filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea, of peace on earth, of comfort and joy. So God with us, the Son who is given to us, means that all this hope rises in our hearts like the morning star rises just before dawn. So, this Christmas, in the midst of all that we may be going through, let's take time to remember, to us, a son is given.